You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, one of the most segregated moments, you know, in the church, in the day of the week, one of the most segregated moments in the day of the week is Sunday morning. And Lifeway discovered in their survey that they actually took, and you can see it right here on your screen, you know, Lifeway did a survey in August 2015 examining how people do or do not experience diversity at their church and their views towards diversity. One survey focused on 994 people who said they go to church at least on the holidays, if not more often. 67% say their church has done enough to become more ethnically diverse. 40% want to see more diversity. 71% of evangelicals say that their church is diverse enough. Race and ethnicity reveal sharp differences. Only 37% of whites want their church to be more diverse, compared to 47% of Hispanics and 51% of African Americans who would want their churches to be more diverse. 82% say diversity is good for the country, but not necessarily for their church. Isn't that something else when you look at this as the church? It's like, why is the world divided? Could it be because the church is divided?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what you saw in the coffee shop, you know, what we saw for 10 years, walking out what we call the Malachi mandate, turning the Father's heart, and just seems so natural.
Yeah.
But when they would go back to their churches, to the, you know, where their family, where they gathered, it was segregated almost, and it was just like whatever God did in the unity movement, it would just die off. And then we would see the guy in the grocery store down the road and go like, he's like a robot. Like, what happened? You were alive. What happened?
Right.
And it's like they went back and just divided again once they went back in their building. So what would you say? Why does it have to happen outside of what we call a church building? I mean, because it was happening in the wilderness. It was happening all over the place. It was happening in small groups with Promise Keepers. We filled stadiums around the world. We put a million men in the Washington Mall. But it's like we carried it back into this building.
That's the problem.
So what do we do? Yeah. I mean, what do we do with that? I mean, what do you think God thinks about? It's almost like we're making our buildings more important than us being the building of God.
Yeah. Well, I can say from the perspective now where I stand with the unity movement, which we'll talk more about later in Pensacola, is that in the book by J.D. Greer, who currently is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. is a mega church up in North Carolina in Raleigh, he co-authored this book with another individual from the convention called Undivided, and they came up with a thing called the gospel spectrum. They say the reason why, the part of the problem has to do with this gospel spectrum. It begins with ignorance. Ignorance due to isolation. When groups, churches in this case, are isolated from each other, and that's the majority of churches in America, though we have many that have integrated, many that have overcome the barriers in society.
What is
Thank
that,
God for those churches.
What is an integrated church? What does that mean?
Well, we're talking about cultures and races worshiping together instead of separate worship services, actually worshiping together and celebrating that diversity, celebrating their uniqueness. Well, what ends up happening when churches are isolated, either in pure white communities, black, Hispanic, there's an ignorance there that prevails, not stupidity, but ignorance of not knowing, not being aware of the blessing that it could be if they get to really befriend and in worship with and engage people of different ethnic groups and cultures. So ignorance is one. The second phase was
I know we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in depth. I got some slides for that to bring it up. But that's so you literally got to have some intentionality we'll talk about. So that we intentionally go to the store to buy groceries, we intentionally get married, we intentionally have children, but we don't intentionally make efforts to integrate our life.
To be with people not like us.
Yes, because it's easier just to be with somebody who speaks the same language, that looks the same, acts the same, you don't have to learn more. But then we're boring, right?
Let me tell you this, and this relates to what we're talking about now. In 2016, when the Unity Movement began here in Pensacola, I was at Joe Patty's Seafood having lunch, and a lady came up to me, and she saw what I had my Bible out. She had gotten a conversation. I told her about what was going, showed her a video of the Unity Movement. She started crying. She says, let me tell you what happened to me. A little over a year ago, I was born again. Gave my heart to Christ, came out of the world, joined a church that my family were attending. They welcomed me, embraced me. He said, then the presidential election, this is back in 2016, mm-hmm. the campaign took place with Hillary and Trump. Mm-hmm. And in my conscience, I couldn't support Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't see how this man mm-hmm. and his attitude could be the president of our country. And it's just my family, when I would go to get with him at the family gatherings at the table, this was an adult woman. Mm-hmm. I guess they had family gatherings with her parents, brothers, sisters, their family and kids. They shunned me. They were yelling at me across the table. And she starts crying. Mm-hmm. They said I wasn't welcome anymore in their home. The church where I professed Christ when I would go, it was so politicized mm-hmm. that because I wasn't on board, you know, again, this is a new, she said, I was a new believer.
Right.
I haven't been in the Word. Says they shunned me. I could not worship, I could not come to family gatherings, mm-hmm. couldn't even attend the church where I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Right.
She's weeping. She says, I have nothing. I have embraced the gospel. I believe Christ is my Savior. And she's crying over there. I remember praying for that woman, and I thought to myself, there is a problem here. Mm-hmm. Had somebody, true believer, taken that woman and said, well, let me help you. Let's look at the scriptures together.
Right.
Gently taken her.
Right.
And loved her and discipled her and understood where she was.
Right.
She was a brand new believer.
Right.
She came out of the world
right.
with all kinds. You know, we have so many churches that so politicize themselves yeah. mm-hmm. in Christianity, be it the black community, white community, whatever community,
right.
Hispanic, that they can no longer effectively be a witness to the people that they call their enemies. Mm-hmm. Once you start demonizing someone, mm-hmm. even your political opponents, you've lost then your ability to bring the gospel to those people. If you'd rather beat someone at the polls politically than lead them to Jesus,
right.
then you got a problem
right.
as a Christian. That's wow. not Christian.
Right.
You know, politics is one thing. Our faith
right.
first, and for our first challenge to a lost world is the gospel.
Right.
We can't expect them to be on the same page right. with us on abortion
right.
or the sanctity of marriage if they don't even know Jesus.
Right.
And if they're a brand new believer, remember what I said, sanctification is a process.
Time, yeah,
process. If anybody needs to be gentle
yeah.
and loving and patient,
right.
Isn't that the fruit of the Holy Spirit?
I think about Jesus, you know, when the woman was caught in adultery and they brought
yes.
her up and they're like
compassion.
Ready to stone her, they're ready to exercise the law of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus just says, you know, either thou sin, cast the first stone. It was interesting that the older people dropped their rocks first, because the longer you live,
right.
the more you realize, right?
The more you
and
know.
The younger ones dropped their rocks last.
Yeah.
But when it was all said and done, he didn't say, what's your political affiliation? He just said,
right.
where are your accusers?
Right.
And sometimes this religious spirit that gets over the church, that all of a sudden is like, are we accusing the woman in adultery right. versus telling her about Jesus?
Right.
Because the first thing you need to know him.
Right.
And then whatever God's going to do with that person happens over a period of time. You're talking about sanctification.
And Greg, this problem that's prevalent today on the political side was there in the early church in the book of Acts in chapter 15 in the council that met in Jerusalem. Mm. It was over the circumcision issue.
Mm.
The Judaizers wanted to make that another thing along with accepting Christ.
Right.
You must be circumcised if you're going to be acceptable in our pack.
Right.
And that, remember that, it almost brought a
right.
great division in the church. The Holy Spirit got in the middle of that and settled
right.
that issue.
Right.
They had to agree to disagree
right.
on issues beyond the salvation
right.
message if they're going to get along, Jew and Gentile. It's the same thing here.
It's always, this is amazing, and it just keeps going, right?
Yeah.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.